Hello and welcome to episode 27 of the Almost Awesome Esports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Ben, and joined alongside by my co-host, Taryn. How are you tonight, Taryn?
Not too bad. How are you going, Ben?
Oh, I can't really complain. And as well as Simon.
Hey, how you going, Ben?
No, that's fucking retarded. Let's not. And sadly, tonight we are not joined by the other co-host, Simon, as he is busy with other commitments. So for those who have not listened to us before, we're a small show. We generally talk about the trending news in the esports scenes, as well as other topics that relate to it. Tonight's episode was introduced by Ento with his new song, Miss You. A link will be left in the description for that one. So with that small little introduction out of the way, we're going to jump over to the League of Legends news to start off. Taryn, how are we going in the league?
Yeah, we can't complain. Most of the splits are sort of in the middle. First of all, we've got Forgiven rejoining H2K as a substitute after leaving Origin earlier in the season. To me, it's hard to see him being a sub for overly long with the amount of skill he has and how he's such a good player. I see him moving back to the main roster relatively soon. Speaking of Origin, Toaster joins as the starting ADC and Zergoth, I think. Yeah. And Zergoth joins the team as substitute. Peke moves back into the sub position. Continuing with the news in Europe, and Fnatic has released Gamsu, who was replaced by Kikis in the top lane, who was the former top laner of G2. Meanwhile, G2 has signed Unlimited as a substitute. And in wildcard region news, Ints Esports becomes the first team to qualify for the International Wildcard Qualifier after defeating CNB Esports 3-1 in the final of the CB LOL. To the standings now, and over in NA... Over in NA now, and TSM are still sitting on top with 12 series victories, followed closely behind by Immortals with 11 wins and 1 loss. Team Liquid and Cloud9 share third place with 7 series wins. Meanwhile, at the bottom, Phoenix 1 has actually moved off the bottom of the ladder. They have 2 series wins, with Echo Fox replacing them at the bottom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Phoenix, they're making a real surge to not be dead last now. I did not expect that at all.
I mean, they were going all season and dead last, and just now they just starting to switch out with, what, Echo Fox?
Yeah, Echo Fox has taken last place. I mean...
I really thought Echo Fox would be doing a lot better than what they are at the moment, especially with the roster that they had. It wasn't exactly the best, but at the same time, it wasn't exactly the worst.
Yeah, I expected them to be a middle-of-the-pack team, and Phoenix won a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about them not even winning one series, and now they're sort of...
branching off.
They've got their 2 series wins, and they're sort of not doing too bad. They lost a series to CLG this week, but they took them two games to one. So it'll be interesting to see how they go in the next few weeks.
Oh, definitely.
Over to Europe now, and G2 sits on top with 6 wins, 6 ties, 24 points. Fnatic sits just behind them with 21 points, and Splice and H2K sit in third and fourth respectively. Giants have made a mid-season surge to sort of sit in fifth place with 17 points. And then we'll look at the bottom of the ladder here. We've got Origin in ninth with Rocket in last. Unicorns of Love have actually made quite a surge over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, taking a couple of series wins, moving their way up into seventh, which is something that actually surprised me. But yeah, I really don't see Rocket getting off the bottom of the ladder, even though it's really close. It'll be interesting to see how EU goes in the last few weeks of the series here.
Yeah, Rocat has always been sitting in the bottom. I was hoping a bit better from them this season, but as per usual, they're just sitting around the bottom of that ladder. It's going to be very tough for them coming into the final stretch coming up to Worlds. I don't think they're even going to get close to even seeding for it.
Yeah, I don't see Rocat getting out of relegations. I definitely see them going to the relegation tournament at the end of the season, but, you know, we'll have to see. With, you know, Europe having the tie situation, the best of twos, you know, a couple of series wins and they're back up, they're fighting for a finals position. So we'll have to see. Over in Korea now, and Samsung and SKT sit equal top with 9 wins, 3 losses, with Rocks, Tigers and KT just behind in third and fourth. MVP is probably, to me, MVP and Afrika Freaks have probably been the surprise packets of the year, sitting in fifth and sixth respectively. Looking to the bottom now, and CJ Enters and Longzhu Gaming are sitting in equal ninth. Pretty much what we sort of expect with SKT sitting up the top there with Rocks, Tigers and KT. But MVP, team coming straight from Challenger, did not expect them to be doing quite so well. Moving over to China now, and EDG look to continue dominating the region, sitting at the top of Group A with 9 wins, with Newbie just behind them, with quite a distance behind them, with 4 wins and 6 losses. Meanwhile, in Group B, Royal Never Give Up sits in first place with 9 wins and just the one series loss to EDG earlier in the season, with IMA and Team World Elite sitting in second and third, respectively. Looking at the bottom of the ladder, and OMG still sit on the bottom with just the 2 series victories.
I'm feeling it for them. I mean, being at the bottom of the pack, and especially in that lineup, we don't see him moving. That ladder looks pretty consistent as it is. I'm pretty sure only maybe 2 or 3 positions have been switched around, but besides that, it's been a fairly straightforward actual ladder there.
Yeah, China is, it seems relative, it's been relatively the same for most of the split, but there have been a few changes, and I mean, in the cross-group matches, we've seen quite a few surprises with, you know, one of the top teams in Group A losing to one of the lower teams in Group B, who then lost to one of the even worse teams in their group. So there's definitely a lot of room for change, but, you know, it's clear that EDG and Royal Never Give Up are the 2 best teams in the region.
Definitely.
And finally, moving over to LMS, we've got J-Team sitting on top with 5 wins and 1 tie, 16 points, sitting just behind by Flash Wolves, who are a series down, only playing 5 series. They have the 5 wins. AHQ sits just behind with 4 wins and 2 losses. Looking at the bottom, we've got Extreme Gamers sitting in 7th with just the 1 series win, and Team Mist sitting at the bottom with no wins, no ties. And now we move to Ben with some Call of Duty news.
Oh, thanks for that, Tyron. So over the last week, we've actually seen a bit of a stir-up with 2 major teams in the COD scene, such as Optic and Team Caliber. We're going to start off with Optic, Karma and Crimzix being both suspended in the next upcoming match against 100 Thieves. It was pretty much a bit of a banter that caused this to go on, where Karma releasing on Twitter a small statement saying, talking to one of the mods of the site that was hosting the tournament, he was talking about how 100 Thieves were playing, and he described them as a very cheap way of playing. Due to the banter, the refs and everyone else have kind of ruled out that that kind of sportsmanship is not exactly encouraged, especially out in the public like that. So he's gotten a flick for it. But as for Crimzix, it hasn't been announced yet. He's kept it disclosed as to why he's being suspended for the next match. But we're just going to have to assume that it's under the same following as what Karma went through, with the whole banter not being really appreciated. So over in Team Caliber, and Team Caliber are practically looking for a whole new roster after Khalifa, Holla, and Exotic leave Team Caliber. That only leaves one standing member, which is Theory at the moment. He's the only original member of Team Caliber still in the active roster besides all the other streamers and all the rest. So Team Caliber are looking to pick up another 3 players for the upcoming tournament, which is MLG Orlando. So with that out of the way, we're going to move over to Tyron. Tyron, what have we got in the Smite section?
So over in Smite, it doesn't appear that any of the NA or EU leagues have begun as of yet. We'll just look quickly through the OPL standings, and we have Deadweight sitting in first, followed closely by Insight and Team Pandemonium. Down the bottom, we have Avantgarde in fifth, and we have Corviday sitting at the bottom, still without a win. Back to you, Ben, for some Rocket League.
So over in the Rocket League, we actually have some standings from last week. Last week was the end of the second qualifier. And with that, we're going to move straight through to the World Finals. But before that happens, there's still some seeding yet to be done. 7 teams of the 8 have already guaranteed a spot. And yet we see another 8 teams fighting out for that final position. We've so far got iBuyPower, Cosmic, Kings of Urban, Exodius, Genesis, Flipside Tactics, Weedem Girl, and Mocket Esports EU definitely going through to the LAN event. As for everyone else in the Europe, as well as the NA, there's still one seed that is yet to be announced. So good luck to all of them in the upcoming tournament, and best of luck to whoever takes that final seed out. So with that out of the way, we're going to move over to our next, which will be CSGO.
I feel like I'm two people here today, doing all Simon's work as well as mine. Where is this
laser
go?
As usual.
What is that supposed to mean? What are you trying to say about Simon here?
What are you trying to say about Simon here?
I didn't say anything. You said, as usual.
Next.
In CSGO news, the ESL 1 Cologne Major has just finished up, and the group stage has provided us with some very interesting finals matchups. In Group A, we saw Gambit take out first place, with Astralis taking second. Group B sent Na'Vi and Flipside to the semi-finals, while Group C saw Virtus Pro and Liquid head into the round of eight. Group D saw former Luminosity lineup SK Gaming and Fnatic move through, with G2 being eliminated. For me, one of the best series was watching Virtus Pro take out a weakened Astralis in two maps, who it seems like they really should have come out and just absolutely dominated Astralis, but they put in a hell of a fight, and even though they lost in two maps, they took both of them to overtime, playing with both a substitute as well as their coach. For me, it was just probably one of the best series of the tournament. In the end, what we saw was an All-American final with South America's SK Gaming defeating the North American team Liquid in two maps. Speaking of SK Gaming, both them as well as Luminosity Gaming have lost their places in the E-League tournament, with their roster swaps being seen as outside the rules. Renegades and CLG move into the last chance qualifier as a result, with Cloud9 replacing Luminosity in the finals. Now let's move over to Ben. You got a 1 minute quickie question for us this week?
Do I have a 1 minute quickie question? Okay. So, would you rather a lifetime of tacos or $1 million?
I think I'd prefer $1 million.
Than a lifetime supply of tacos.
I mean, a life. Can I sell the tacos?
Maybe.
Am I allowed to use the tacos in however I want, or do I have to eat the tacos?
I would assume you'd have to eat the tacos.
So I can't take my tacos and I can't sell the tacos.
You can take your tacos.
Can I sell them?
No.
Can I start a taco business with this lifetime of tacos and sell them and make more money? Or do I have to like just use it as food for me?
Food for you.
What's
the thing about it, you never have to buy meals again, so
you'd get sick of tacos though. What?
Oh yeah, definitely.
How good are these tacos?
Like mouth-watering tacos that you would never get sick of ever.
This is such a stupid question.
It is, but I see it asked all the time.
I think I'd prefer the $1 million just because I don't eat tacos that much myself.
Okay, fair enough. So, do you have a question for myself tonight?
Oh, you're not going to answer it?
Oh, sorry. I completely went past that one. So I would have to go probably with the $1 million as well. There's a lot of things I'd like to buy over tacos. But at the same time, the thought of having like unlimited tacos, never having to buy food again, that's also a big factor, but the $1 million, definitely.
Yeah, fair enough. My question this week is probably the classic question. Toilet paper, do you scrunch it or fold it?
I fold it. I don't know why people scrunch it.
Why would you fold it?
I like take a longer stretch and I fold it in two, so then my fingers don't slide through and accidentally finger my bum.
Oh, Jesus. See, I just scrunch it. Like, it's just easier. You rip it off, you scrunch it, and you wipe.
Yeah, but you're losing so much toilet paper to that.
So? It's much quicker.
Not really.
And it ends up a lot more, it ends up sort of thicker, which means you have much less chance of your finger going through, as you said.
That's true, but I still think it's like, I don't know, I just don't scrunch it.
I don't see how you can fold it. Like, to me, sitting on the toilet and folding toilet paper makes no sense.
Well, it's not like I fold it more than twice, you know?
Yeah, but like
once if it's a long enough stretch, twice if it's like a thin paper.
Yeah, but see, you're sitting on the toilet, not sitting at a fucking dinner party. You don't need to fold it and put it on your lap and just, you know. You don't have to be fancy. No one's going to look at it. You just scrunch the shit up and wipe your ass.
I don't know. It just seems more convenient because, you know, I just do a slight pull of the toilet paper, it rolls out, and then I snap it when it's long enough.
And then you just scrunch it and wipe your ass.
Scrunch it? Fuck no. That's like extra work. I just hold the two tops and off you go.
Ugh, Jesus. I don't understand.
Instead of having to scrunch a big fucking paper ball and then it fucking just goes everywhere.
I don't understand you people.
I don't understand you people. It's like you're from New South Wales.
Fucking Queenslanders.
We're going to take out the series again.
Jealous. Queensland's already one state of origin, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fuck you, Ben. That's all I got to say.
That's all you got to say. So, do we have anything else to add tonight?
We could talk shit about something. We could talk shit... actually. Hang on, I've
so
got
with
one.
The...
I've got some.
Okay, what do you got?
Talk about the new champion, Overwatch.
Alright.
Yeah, so one thing I wanted to question you about is Blizzard just come out and announced their first new champion to Overwatch. Have you seen her, Ben?
I have. Blizzard actually released their official video on their Facebook about 9 hours ago. Very interesting. It's Pharah's mother. She is what they call like an ex-mercenary. She is battle-scarred, if I got that correct, or war-torn. She's a support. What they come under is a support with a sniper rifle. She's got a sleeping stun, as well as a stun that actually stops people from healing. So it's going to be very annoying. And as much as I like to label it as a support, I don't see this character actually playing support, to be honest. It seems more of an offensive move to me.
No, she's a very supporty champion. Like, her abilities are... Have you had a look at her abilities at all?
I've only watched a preview trailer, so I've only seen the stun as well as the sleep.
So basically,
the fact that she holds a sniper rifle says a bit more. Sure, her damage might be not on par as a Widowmaker, but I see her being played more offensive than defensive.
Not really. See, I'll go through her abilities here for you. So her rifle shoots darts that can restore health to her allies and deal ongoing damage to her enemies. So she sort of stands back like a Widowmaker, and she shoots both her teammates to restore health, as well as her enemies to do what it sounds like is a poison. Her first ability fires a dart from her sidearm, rendering an enemy unconscious. So it seems it's a lot like the McCree sort of stun. Her second ability, Ana tosses a bionic bomb that deals damage to the enemies and heals allies in a small area of effect. So it seems like...
It cancels their healing. It cancels their healing.
No, it deals damage to them. Deals damage to enemies and heals allies in a small area of effect. Affected allies briefly receive increased healing from all sources. So it seems like she could be used in combination with a Mercy or a Lucio. And they could both be healing a tank. And they could spend a lot more time keeping a tank like a Reinhardt or a Winston alive. And then finally, her ult is after Ana hits one of her allies with a combat boost. They temporarily move faster, deal more damage, and take less damage from enemy attacks. So it makes them a lot tankier. So
I definitely see her working well with a Lucio over a Mercy. Just because of the fact that with a Mercy, you practically have to be locked onto that one champion, where Lucio is more area of effect. So you see someone getting pinned down the side, but there's no Mercy able to jump on, but there's a Lucio in the area doing area of effect. You can help out a lot easier than having to try and jump aboard with a Mercy and try and tackle just the one champion to try and keep him alive.
A lot of it depends on the situation. Like, if your push is going to be everyone get behind a Reinhardt and push in, you might be better off going with an Ana to use her bionic grenade on the group and then sort of use the Mercy to just focus heavily on the Reinhardt and keep the Reinhardt alive. Whereas if the idea is to just, even then, you could go with a Lucio and sort of just keep, you know, everyone alive, have all of their healths coming up together. But, you know, you've got people, characters like Reaper and Pharah and things like that, where they don't want to be with the team. And if they are, if they're out of position or they're getting hit, they're likely going to be dead anyway. So it seems like, to me, she could be used with probably any of the supports. Or she could be taken as a support on her own. I mean, having a support from a long distance away, it seemed, who can also do damage, a lot of damage. I would imagine with the rifle, damage will be quite significant, especially with the AoE damage, as it says it's got. I see her possibly even being used as a support on her own, and then taking champions like a soldier who heals himself, and a Reaper, and possibly even a Mei, who all heal themselves, so that you throw out the bionic grenade, give them boosted healing, and they heal themselves a lot faster on their own. And you take her simply as a support on her own, which lets your team take a second tank or something like that, as opposed to taking what's seen as the meta these days and taking a Lucio and a Mercy, or two Lucios or two Mercies or something like that. So yeah, I think it'll add a lot more flexibility in the meta.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely.
But yeah, I think she's come out on the public test realm today, and we expect her to be released in the next couple of weeks, which will be very interesting.
I'm pretty keen for it, definitely. So since release, we've only seen, well, as of today, one character actually being showcased to jump in on the hero roster. How often do you think we're going to see new champions? Because League of Legends, say, annually push out around 4 to 5 champions, and that's in between reworks as well. But with Overwatch, what do you think the consistency is going to be like?
I'm hoping they don't release too many. Like, you don't want to get to the point, like League, where there's 100 champions, and every time people are dying, they're changing champions because it's so inconsistent and you can't tell what the other team is going to have. I think maybe 30 to 35 could be the ideal number.
So capping it at around the 40 mark at the most.
So yeah, sort of maybe releasing a character every couple of months, which will give the game, you know, 2 to 3 years of new character releases. And then from there, maybe start working on just reworking older champions. So you've got champions.
Well, at the moment, I don't see really a need to rework champions, because at the moment it's very balanced. Throwing one into the mix, depending on her playstyle, which I've yet to see yet, it can really affect heavily, or not even that much of an impact. We've yet to see like how she plays out with the characters and what counters her and all the rest. So once you see up to a pool of around 40 champions, unless they do something that's a bit overpowering on the majority of other characters, we're not going to really see much of a need for reworks.
See, I disagree with you there. Say in 2 years' time there's 40 characters. Some of the characters that are out now may be completely irrelevant. Like, there might be a better version of Bastion that does more damage or something like that, which will make Bastion pretty much irrelevant, more irrelevant than he is now. Which means that instead of releasing a new champion, Blizzard is probably better off giving Bastion a rework and making him a better, more viable champion to differ the meta, instead of just continually releasing more champions as League does. Like, we all...
Oh, definitely. But in saying that, looking at the champion pool that we have at the moment, every character is unique. We don't generally see two of a kind. Unlike League of Legends, where you got half a dozen ADCs, you got half a dozen tanks. It's bloody everywhere at the moment.
Yeah, but the question is, how long can they go on with that originality? At some point, you're going to have... some point, you're going to get to a point where two characters might have the same sort of abilities. Or one character's ability will completely make another character completely useless. Or, you know, a better version. So, like, you know, you've got Winston now, you might get a better version of a monkey that does more damage later on, which will then make Winston irrelevant. Which, what I'm trying to say is, I guess, I would prefer a roster that's more like Street Fighter V, and they have a set roster, and, you know, you work on playing your champions or your class, rather than something like League, where it's new champion after new champion after new champion after new champion, which just fucks everything up.
Oh, definitely, and especially with League of Legends, it's like, just had it in my mind. Scrap that. I just had something I was going to say, but I completely froze.
Even with the League reference, though, you could even compare that to Dota 2, where Dota 2 has a large amount of champions, but they have a set limit. So Dota 2 has got to the point where I think they've released all of their champions, and you get access to all of them for free, obviously, in Dota 2. But they're not releasing more. They're working on making what they've got more viable and making changes to the characters that they have rather than adding more, because adding more, just by adding one new champion, you've got to make sure all 100 and whatever other characters in the game don't become overly affected by it. So quick example here is, say you add another champion that gives full AoE buffs to everyone on your team in a certain area, sort of like Ana's Biotic Grenade, but with damage. You if you get to the point where, you know, you've got that, something like that, combining with Mercy's, you have something like that, which, and then say another champion comes along in 6 months that has a Lucio-like ability that increases damage as well, you don't want those two to be able to counteract each other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've got to make sure that all the champions sort of are relevant, and that's something that Overwatch doesn't see yet, because obviously it's still a new game, but we'll have to see what happens with the rest of the characters they release in the next year or so.
As long as they keep along with the originality for every different champion, it should be fine. I mean, we're looking at it, and there's not too much of a, like, how would I put this? There's no real champions, like, two of a kind of thing.
Yeah.
At the moment. So anyway, as long as they stick to the originality kind of thing and not double up on another champion, they should be fine.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going round and round in circles. You want to wrap it up?
Definitely. So that wraps up our episode for tonight. It's a bit of a small episode tonight because we are one man down, but next week we should have the full roster back again. You can find us outside of this on our Almost Awesome Esports Facebook page, as well as our website that we have in the making at the moment. Our link will be left in the description for that one. Any last words, Tyron, for tonight?
Fuck Simon.
Fuck Simon. Awesome. And with that out of the way, as always, stay awesome.
Bye.